Hello, my name is Daniel. Thank you for listening to the sermon.
Temple of the Lord, we are the temple of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. What was that price? His blood, his death, his sacrifice for us on a cross. You were bought with at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your own, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God's, as in they belong. We belong. Our spirit, our soul, our body belongs to the Lord. We've been bought. And I say, thank you, Jesus, that I belong to you. We are God's, as in not we are God's. In other words, as you can see, it's uppercase G-O-D apostrophe S, meaning we belong to God. In John 7:37, it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, as we have our faith in Jesus Christ, as we believe in him. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And one last verse I want to read, a few verses from Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it's talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days. And the last day has lasted for 2,000 years as the Holy Spirit was poured out back then. And there has been a moving of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of the Spirit of God on all flesh. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And the impact of the Holy Spirit on different people, as in believers and non-believers, there is a different impact. But part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will begin to prepare the hearts of those that don't know the Lord. And so tonight we want to pray that there is this pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. We're talking about hearing from God. We're talking about what God has for us, dreams that are of God, visions that are of God, things that are to be. And also on my men servant and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. The Lord is coming. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. How many of you know somebody that needs to be saved? How many of you have a immediate family member that needs to be saved? Okay, how many? So most of you are putting even within your family or relatives. How many of you have a coworker that needs to be saved? All right, so if you're working, most of us or most would be working and there are those that are not saved where you're working. We have neighbors that need the Lord. We have people that are out on the, wherever they may be, the stranger, they need the Lord because they're not saved. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, one of the things I want to pray tonight is for boldness, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But I want for you just quickly to go to Acts chapter 1 from verse 4. You know this passage. And today, as I would entitle this message or this prayer directive, it is to be in the Holy Spirit, the temple in the Holy Spirit, or the temple with the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so they asked the Lord, hey, well, at this point, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Basically, he's saying it's in the Lord's timing, in the Father's timing, regarding this the Israel and the children, have strayed and that have rejected Jesus Christ when it comes to the children of God, the Jewish, the Hebrew people. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, which is at this point in time part of Israel, and to the end of the earth. And that word end is not just geographic, but it is also chronological. So that end of the earth is even for today. All right, just a quick thing about, maybe I'll just have a little bit of this. This is a perfect illustration of the moment you give your life to Jesus. The moment we give our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes within us. So you can see this oil would be like the Spirit of God within you, all right? And wow, the shape of this head is like what they say about Germans, the square heads, right? It's not quite square, rectangular heads, but sort of fits. But this is the baptism with the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit, all right? And he says, or basically, we are baptized. Let me read again. This is verse 5. You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When it comes to being baptized in water, you are immersed in the water. And when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not just that the Holy Spirit is within us, but we are within the Holy Spirit. So there's this aspect of moving in the Holy Spirit. And I've used this demonstration many times over the years, but this is a good illustration. Are we in the Holy Spirit? Are we baptized in the Holy Spirit? Just a quick question. Who is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit? Jesus is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. So we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the very first time that happened, now this is with believers. We read of that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is where Jesus was saying, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. And there is a sign. And Mark talks about this. John Mark, who was a young teenager, was following Jesus and the disciples around. But he writes of this. He says, those that believe in Jesus' name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The sick will recover. These signs that will follow those, it says, and they went out. Jesus was ascended, and he is sitting on the right hand of the Father. It says, and they went out, and the Lord confirmed these signs even as they went out. So these things, one of them, the second thing that's mentioned, and again, I like the order of it. The moment you have salvation is the moment you already have authority over the enemy. You can, even to the point of casting out demons, and the influence of demonic influence, oppression, possession, whatever it may be, you as a new believer, have the authority to cast out demons. But in the progression of what is being mentioned here, this speaking in new tongues is another, it's a sign of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord would desire for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of the Father. He's saying, yeah, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So not just baptized with anything, but baptized with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember I always had a heart for evangelism, even as a younger child. It was like to see people know about Jesus. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, not only was there a fervency to tell others about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit was making a way possible for that to happen. That as I was baptized as a 14-year-old, in fact, I'm just trying to think, if I got baptized in the Holy Spirit before I got baptized in water, I'll have to check back. But it was very close. And when we read of Cornelius, the centurion, he and his family and probably his servants and whoever was there, got saved first, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues. This is Acts chapter 10. And then it says, who can forbid? Hey, they got baptized just as we did. They're not Jewish. He was a Roman centurion. And so he was baptized in water right after that. So the main thing is the salvation comes first. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is another, and with salvation, let me just say, the Holy Spirit comes within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit, we are now in the Holy Spirit, okay? So otherwise, and this is a good place to be. This is a good place to be. Now, I always thought, and I just want to say this, I always thought that when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, like you were at another level. I can remember as a child, I could remember my parents and praying, or in particular this one family that we spent, we would often go to their place. And I can remember, you know, we're downstairs and we're playing around, teenagers or even younger. And I had gone upstairs, and I could hear them praying in other tongues. And I heard tongues, and even from the time of, from the time I was 9 to the time I was 15, or 14, sorry, I was seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit during these years. And I remember I could hear at different points in a service, or when there was prayer or whatever, prayer in the Spirit. And so it was something I thought they were up here, a person that was baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a change within me. There was an aspect of a boldness that I didn't have. And tonight, that is one thing that I want to, that we pray for, is this thing of boldness to proclaim the gospel. Because oftentimes we don't say anything. If a person doesn't hear the good news of Jesus Christ, they're not going to get saved. They need to understand. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so those that believe in what, as Mark writes in the last chapter, the last few verses, those that believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to share it. So I like what it says in Romans, I believe it's chapter 10, and it talks about how lovely are the feet of those that bring good news. And before that, it says, but how can they be saved unless they hear? And how can they hear unless somebody tells them and is sent to go and tell them? And how lovely are the feet of those that bring good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they can have salvation. We are not just talking about our own family members that need to be saved, but we are talking about an entire city. This morning, I was trying to figure out, how many people are actually saved in this city? You know? I don't know. Are there 5,000 born-again believers in this city? I'm not talking about those that are religious. I'm talking about those that are born of God. How many are there? Are there 10,000? Are there 15,000? I doubt it. Which means there's about 95,000 people, almost 100,000 people in this city. The majority of the people in the city don't know Jesus. And the tens of thousands that come daily that are right here in our city right now, they need to hear about Jesus. And I thank God that there's individuals that have been going out for a period of time, even now. I just say thank you, Pastor Nate, this thing of going, go forth, and those that go forth on a Saturday morning to speak about Jesus with others is critical. And however we do that, it needs to be done. Otherwise, a person doesn't come to Christ. The Holy Spirit's involved with it, especially, and as we have boldness to go out. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 8. And I just quickly want to go through Acts chapter 8 about a person that was just an ordinary person that was baptized in the Holy Spirit, was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was within him, and he was in the Holy Spirit as well. Acts chapter 8, the man's name is Philip. And as we move in the Holy Spirit desires to work through us to see many come to Jesus, sometimes even at one time. And we'll see that in this chapter, or for us to have interaction just one-on-one. So whether it's for many and many coming to the Lord, or it's just for even one person. And so God views the masses, as he says, as Jesus says, he saw the multitudes. He saw the multitudes as sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion. He had compassion on them as sheep without a shepherd. There is nothing that a sheep can do, really, to defend itself. It doesn't have fangs. It doesn't have a bark that he can bark and make a noise. It's like, meh, meh. Well, that's really scary, eh? And what is more ridiculous looking than a sheep that hasn't been shorn yet? It looks like a barrel with these four little sticks. It's like, that's not very fierce looking. And so sheep, like they're, and that's how people are without the Lord. Sheep without a shepherd. They need a shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd, and they need to have a shepherd. It's amazing what the Lord desires to do through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Philip wasn't one of the apostles, but we read of him. And we'll just, let's just go there right now, just to say, who was Philip? Acts chapter 6, just before we start with chapter 8, let's just run over to chapter 6. And it says in verse 1, it says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews about the Hellenists. So the Hebrews were Jews from Israel. The Hellenists were those Jews actually had come from outside, from Greece. And so they were the Hellenists. And there was conflict between the two of them because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. and they need to eat. And it's like the widows, there's nobody to provide. And so there was a food bank, whatever, set up. And so the apostles were involved in that and were, but there was so many that needed help. And it says, then the 12 apostles summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Not because it was beneath them. It was the importance of the time spent in prayer, but also in the ministry of the word. And so it was the body of Christ working together, every part doing what it's supposed to. And I love, that's what I see here so often. It's like, thank God, you know, that there are so many of you involved in one way or another for the work of the Lord here, even in the church. So he said, it says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we're going to appoint them. They're going to have the responsibility of taking care of this matter. But we will ourselves continue, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I want to just say this. This is why, for me, as a pastor, prayer, it's not like, well, Lord, I'll see if I can fit it in to my schedule. No, this is what is necessary for me as a pastor. These were apostles, but they were overseeing the church. That church was huge. There were probably 15,000 to 20,000 people in that church. And so the apostles, there was a feeding of the flock and attending of the flock. And so here, these individuals were put into this place of taking care of this matter. And I thank God for the word here that says, hey, the important things, especially, I'm not saying it's not important in our church here. I just say thank you, Lord, for those that come here to pray, some very regularly, like more than once a week. They are in prayer. Now, you may say, I don't pray much, or I don't know how to pray, or whatever. Hey, it's just talking to God. It's bringing the needs before God. It's worshiping God. I like the acronym ACTS, Acts. This is what we're reading about from the book of Acts. And when it comes to prayer, this is a little thing that you can do. If you don't know what to pray or how to pray, I pray for a minute and I'm done. One thing is to give adoration, to confess. A-C is confession. If there's anything within your life that shouldn't be or needs to be confessed, confess it. Third thing is thanksgiving, to give thanks. And the last thing is supplication, is to make supplication, to bring your needs before the Lord. And so it's a good way to remember, hey, this is, I can give structure to a period of time of prayer. I thank God. With that also is the aspect of praying in the Spirit, which is one of the first things that comes, is they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance, which helps in prayer. So it's important. So they chose Stephen. This saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit, along with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, or Tim for short, I guess, Parmenas, and Nicholas, Nick for short, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So here, Philip was one of them. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and his first mention is that he's responsible, part of a team that's responsible for the feeding of others. of the widows in the church, and I'm sure it was even beyond, but they were feeding those in a daily distribution. It'd be interesting to know how many they were feeding. One day we'll find out. It says the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. This is one of the things that we, Lord, let there be an increase, that the word of God would spread, the number of the disciples would multiply, more would come to know Christ, and that there would be those that would be obedient to the faith. Okay, so to Acts chapter 8 now, and again, I'll see how far I get here. I might skip some parts and portions, but Paul, or Saul, was consenting to his death, to the death of Stephen, the chapter before Stephen is stoned to death, one of the seven. And so at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostles stayed in where the church was originally, and I'm sure that the church size decreased dramatically, and they went wherever in Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. So his celebration of life, the funeral. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So that we're talking major persecution. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So here's this man full of the Spirit of God going to Samaria, which was outside of Jerusalem and in Judea, then Samaria, and he's preaching Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And you say, is this something that I can do as well? Could there be signs following, miracles being done? The Lord is saying, I want for you to do even greater works than I've done. I want you to do. He's not just speaking to pastors. He's talking to every single believer. And so here's Philip, just an ordinary guy, in the power of the Holy Spirit, miracles being done, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. I'll tell you, let that be even now. Let that be for today, that there would be a great joy in our city, in Niagara Falls, even as we move in the power of the Holy Spirit, miracles being done. There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So they even attributed it to God. It was demonic sorcery. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, interesting. Look at verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? Sorry? They were baptized in water. So they got saved and they got baptized in water. And so then Peter and John, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was in them the moment they got saved, but then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So first the Holy Spirit was in them, now they're baptized in the Holy Spirit as they're prayed for. So It goes on to say that Simon wanted, as a believer, wanted to buy this gift, this to have this power, that when he laid hands on somebody, the Holy Spirit would be given. And he says, give me this power also. He offered them money, saying that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Thank God that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you don't have to pay for it. It's already been paid for, and the Lord is saying, hey, this is available to you, that you would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your weakness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And we can get into depths of that. But anyways, Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, we're talking many of the Samaritans, and they were partially Jewish. They were really looked down upon because one or the other, whether it was the woman or the man, was not Jewish. So in a marriage, they were mixed. They weren't both Jewish. One was Jewish, one was not. So the Samaritans were really looked down upon by the Jews. But here, the gospel is spreading, going out. No matter who it may be, they need to hear the gospel, and it's being spread. And there are many that are getting saved that were Samaritans. It's like, thank you, Jesus. Man, we need that. Now, the rest of, or a good chunk of this chapter then continues on with, immediately the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and apparently it was like a distance of like 100 miles or 160 kilometers. Like we're talking, how long it took him to get there, took him a while to get. And so he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So even as a chariot is carrying this man, of great authority under the Candace the queen, Philip hears him reading. He's reading out loud from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless somebody guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this, and it's actually from Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, or asked, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Is this Isaiah speaking, or is it somebody else? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Preached Jesus. Now, Isaiah was written 700 plus years before Jesus even came. It was speaking about Jesus, and this is what Philip preaches to this man. Whether it's many that are coming to Christ or just one person, the Holy Spirit desires that we move with him to the reaching out to others, and he will make a way. And this is what happened then. He says, so Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, let me go back one verse. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? In this next verse, I believe in many translations, is not even there. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it's like, why are you not? This verse 37 is so important, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The Holy Spirit caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So, all to say, at this time, and I want that we would take time to intercede, that we would take time to pray for boldness. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were told about the man that had been healed, by what power? It's by the power of Jesus. In Jesus' name, he was healed. And the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, says, "You are not allowed." They threatened them. He said, "You are not allowed to speak in Jesus' name or do anything in Jesus' name." And they threatened them, right? So it says here, as they were told, they were threatened not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. So when they got back to the group, to the believers, it says now that they began to pray. So verse 29, Acts 4:29, and here's their prayer. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." So the threat that may be against you at this point in time not to speak about Jesus is coming from within you, or is coming from a spirit of fear. I can't say, I might offend somebody, or I'm afraid to speak Jesus. So it's not even a threat from outside. It's to say, don't speak about Jesus. Or you're afraid, how might they react? How might this person that I talk to, whoever it may be, maybe it's a loved one, or maybe it's somebody else, or maybe you already had a major reaction that was negative, and you say, oh man, I don't want that to happen again, and so you don't say anything because you're afraid. How many times have you spoken about Jesus and having salvation from sin to somebody that you love? How many times have you spoken to them about Jesus? And we're talking about those that are not saved. And so often, we don't say anything. And here is saying, Lord, the threat, whether it's a spiritual demonic threat or whatever it may be, you're not allowed to speak this. There's governments that say you're not allowed to preach Jesus. At this point in time, we have opportunity to preach Jesus. There's been no shutting down. And I'm surprised that as you guys go forth to preach the gospel, that you are at a stage now that you're actually using a voice enhancer, a mic, or using a mic and speakers. Yeah. You know what? Technically, they're saying, hey, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to necessarily have or impede traffic on the sidewalks or whatever. Those are bylaws in our city. You know what? The Lord is giving favor at this point in time, and I believe that is going to give even more favor, that the gospel is preached and that many will hear. And this is where I see the Lord heading us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that there will be signs and miracles done to confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that people that are just walking by, and they, even if they see these miracles, are The miracles are confirming the gospel, which brings a person to salvation. And this is, the Lord is giving favor in these last days, and we that are here tonight are a smaller representation of this local church here. That we would pray, Lord God, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that I would move in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and be used by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads, regardless of threats and regardless of anything else, Lord, that others will come to know Jesus Christ, that there would be a powerful demonstration of God, the power of God to confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, what I would like for us to do at this time, and I may put you out of your comfort zone. And it's not usually I have you break up into groups and you pray in groups. Here's what I want you to do. If you're able to, I want you that we come here to be in one accord, that we're all together here, just like it was on the day of Pentecost. They were in one place in one accord. And so I want you to get up and just say, you know what, I'm in agreement for there to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says that they were, all those that were there, even as they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit again, and they went out with boldness, and there was powerful things done. So can I have, if I could ask you to come forward, and you may say, what are we going to do when we come forward? I want that we begin to pray. I want you to begin to pray with understanding, to ask the Lord for the, if you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, just say, you can say it. Lord, I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I need to be like this. You are in me, but I need to be like this. But for the sake of those that don't know Jesus. And what we're going to do as we pray, we're going to take a few minutes just to pray with understanding. There will be this working here by the Holy Spirit as we pray out. There might be, if one of you feels to pray, to lead in prayer, then we're going to allow that to happen as well. I'll give you the mic, and I want you to pray out then, using the mic so everybody can hear, to agree with them. So if I could have you, if you're able to come here and be a part of this, I know that there's people that you know that are not saved that need to be saved. So I would invite you to come and be a part of this here tonight as we pray. So can we just, again, we're praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak the word of God with boldness, that many or even just one would be saved as we speak Jesus to others. That's what we're praying around, okay? And if you want, you might be mentioning the names of those that you want to pray for. But if I could just have you start to pray as we're here in one place, in one accord.
Okay. Hello, my name is Daniel. Thank you for listening to the message. I hope and pray that the word of God that you heard has filled your spirit. As well, you can send us a message on Instagram, on Facebook. You can visit our website, get our email. We would love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, if you have a testimony, if you want to get involved, if you have any questions, please send us a message. We would love to hear from you and get connected. Thank you, and God bless you.